I have to, first of all, thank Paul and Shane for allowing me at the last moment to come in, insert myself in this. And it's a great reading. I can tell the energy is fecund. It's very fecund. Anyway, thank you all very much. So I'll get right to it, because we have 10 minutes. I'm actually not going to be reading from the issue, because they're all Irish poets. Abbott is one. So I'll read my own work. But 10 minutes. And then try to make a graceful exit. Narrative. We're all born blind and come to find the world grows older with us. What becomes familiar are the patterns that they might find a place in thought's containment, out from which the narrative is formed. And what are we, after all, but the story that we tell ourselves we are, with such insistence as to see it as we will, with a strangely cobbled speech to fit its purpose, as they say. We know what we know by agreement with others, a narrative continuous at best. We sleep and dream, we wake, we talk to one another, complacent in the keep of our years, and what we come to know they bury with us, and the others carry on in their way. I give you words for worries, as you might find some use in their employment. I would describe myself as a lapsed Catholic, but my dad was not lapsed, and this is kind of for my dad. It's called Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, my father always placed a palm atop a calendar, a palm he brought from church to celebrate the coming and the going out. That palm, so green when fresh, grew dry and brown with the passing of the year. That calendar hanging on the wall like a death sentence, knowing one of those days marked a going out, with feast days marked in blood red color. No absolution here, only a holy silence, the silence of a calendar. Nothing too light, too influenced by Dennis O'Driscoll and Philip Larkin. Anyway, this is called The Grave Digger's Hands. One comes to know the texture of the earth, moving and removing it in turns. Hard pack and mud slush, shovel full and bucket, with hands coarse and calloused like the knots and burls of an ancient tree, grown hoary with age and weather, grown strong with unceasing labor. The grave digger's hands hold a memory and a feeling for forgotten things and the cold gray logic of the stone. Thank you. Very kind. Rilke's Dark Music. What was it that you heard in that dark music, that terrible silence, hung heavy like a stone cloud over your solitary travels? And how in wonder did you find the questions asking what form angels take outside the frame of time, or how from Blake or Swedenborg you differed, and what were the markers of those seasons no calendar records? What would you have of angels and their labor to reconcile the people with their God, and looking for a hero come to find there are no heroes now? No womb brings forth that fruit today. Thank you. Try not to sound too apocalyptic. I really wish you could write funny poems. You write what you write. You write. You know. Then you have to live with it. That's the worst part. Making the poems is only half of it. Living with them is the other half. Landscape with machines. Machines are our companions where we're going. Where we're going, machines are our companions. All stainless in their steely skin. Cold and so conclusive in their sadness. They know us by our touch, and no surprise they read our eyes with laser-like precision. Already, we are not alone. Machines are our companions. In an age of information, all clockwork inconspicuous, machines are our companions. In a landscape like no other, machines become our witness. As we're going, machines become our witness, and from us they'll take the measure and continue. And machines will keep our history. After all, functions fail, and there is memory in the junk, and they to us will be as we to them. The word machine in that poem could be substituted for the word device. I'll leave it up to you. Let me know, Shane. I don't see you out there, but just say, get off. Right.
You're okay.
Okay. Well, there you are. I'm a big fan of the late Austrian writer Kafka. So this is just simply called K. In this story, no one gets redeemed or comes to any true conclusions. The days become impossible with worry. The enemy is never seen, always a menacing presence. No simple answers asked or given. Everyone stands accused. At some point in the future, a knock comes at the door. Like it. Winter apples, a poem of the season. Off by the roadside, in a field of junk cars, and covered with a fresh white snow, an apple tree in winter, remnant of another season. Where frozen in their perfect golden hue, these winter apples tan. Like 100 tiny suns suspended in the air. No tree of the Hesperides is this, just a tree that bore its fruit that no one came to harvest in its time. Thank you very much. This is poem that I wrote for my teacher and friend, and it actually begins with lines of his, and so the title is Beginning with a Line from Art Creed. We move backwards to love, sorting all those accidents of speech that may have hurt or injured in some unintended way, and putting them in place that they might be resolved and made less harsh in retrospect as time becomes the teacher of a soft and subtle wisdom bending backwards to the heart. So I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm in Ireland and I'm going to read a poem for a man I never met, but whose poetry I really, really love, and he happened to come from Newcastle West. And I really wish I'd met this man, but I never did. So this is my tribute to the late Michael Hartnett. It seems to me, at least to me, his love of birds revealed a poetry was spirit. His wish to fly up and over Earth's minor tragedies, the ones reduced to memories not altogether pleasant. It seems in his world, the names of birds become a poetry of place, their song the song of centuries, with feathered words to bear the poem onward, outward. It seems to me his spirit wanted flight in air, as sure as fancy find a freedom. So in closing, I will close with this, and this is a word near and dear to anyone interested in the subject of philosophy. This is called doubt. It was always about beginnings, the first push to what seemed most insistent, the impulse then to act, to bring off some occasion of my own doing. Because I was alone, quite alone, my thoughts became the company I kept. But something intervenes, moves between the thoughts, the question, uneasy in its movement. And he is strong who would take unto himself such doubt. I am not that man. And if this is that or that, it matters in some crazy way. It's not for me to say. I won't, I can't. I am not that man. Thank you for your time.